Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. My name is Lindsay, and I am your host, and I'm back with my co-host, Casey B. Woo! He was not here last week, but as you can hear, he's excited to be back, and I'm just excited to podcast with you.
I'm excited as well.
Did you miss it last week?
Yeah, I did. I was kind of sad. That was pretty sad, actually.
It's kind of weird because it's just such a little thing. It's just an hour or an hour and a half out of our week, but it's nice to get to talk to you. I mean, yeah. We talk to each other all the time, but...
I mean, other than podcasts, I don't think we ever speak.
Oh, yeah. It's actually dead silence all the time. So as we do every week, we will bring our toasts and roasts out and about, and then we're going to get into a quick little topic kind of regarding March Madness. So, Casey B, do you want to start with your toast since you were gone last week, or do you want to start with a roast?
I will start with my toast because that's involved with the roast.
Okay.
So, went snowmobiling for my first time.
It was the best time ever. So,
so much fun.
Well, this was my second time, and both times were the best times ever. It's like the coolest thing of all time. Last week on the pod, I just said it like really briefly because I was doing toast and roast by myself, and it's not very fun to talk about something like this by myself. I can't really. When I was talking about my actual topic for the episode, it was better, but talking about toast and roast, I was like, yep, this happened.
Man, it was just so much fun because it's like I grew up in the mountains and skiing and hiking everywhere, and it's like I just love it up in the mountains in the snow and all that. But yeah, it was just a whole another thing going snowmobiling around. And I just had so much fun.
Yeah, I don't know if I've always wanted to go snowmobiling, but I love winter. Like, that's my favorite. Snow, winter. And it is just the coolest thing to be up there in the mountains and the trails that go out, and it's like, when would I ever have another opportunity to like be at this view in the snow? Because I'm sure you can go hiking and do some great things, see some great views when you're hiking, but you can't really, I mean, you can, but not me, hike where we went in the snow. Like, it was insanely beautiful. It was so fun. It is so much work on the body, but I was kind of thinking both times when I was doing it, and people might laugh about this, but I almost felt like it was almost like a meditative experience, and I'll expand on why, but like, it's weird to say that when it's on a machine or something that's definitely not like out in solitude in nature, but you are out in solitude in nature, kind of. Like, there's nobody around, and then it's so beautiful, and you're using your body. And also, as somebody who's always has, like, either listening to music or podcasts all the time, you're not looking at your phone, you're not listening to music, like, there's just nothing, there's no distractions, it's just you. And then when you're actually going, you're, like, using your body, and you're just, like, focusing. And I was just, my mind was going a lot of different places, and also just being really aware of my body, because you use it a lot more to, like, lean and everything, and it's just a different way to use my body. I just loved it. I want you to talk about it more, though, because I know you loved it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's close to skiing for me. And like, skiing is like my...
Your favorite thing ever.
All time.
That's crazy. You've only gone once,
too. It's like the most like awesome thing I can do. But it's like, yeah, just rolling around. And it's just the hum of the engine. And I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. This is so much freaking fun. I love it.
It's really helpful.
And it's like, I've never been on a motorcycle or a quad or jet ski or anything like that. And this is like my first time being on like a motorized type of deal like that. And just a whole different experience for me because it's always been quiet, solitude, no noise.
Yeah, very different from skiing, I guess, in that aspect. About a lot of aspects, but it's weird because it's kind of similar, but it's also very different. And I was also, you know, when you're talking about not being on a motorcycle or a quad or anything, I've been on a quad before, not a motorcycle, but I have a lot of fear around these things, and I have a lot of fear with snowmobiling, but it really pushed me farther. Like, that we were out on, like, it's scary.
It's like cliffed out.
Cliffs. The people who took us were talking about how they go to South Dakota and go sometimes too. And, you know, South Dakota is pretty flat compared to where we were. We're literally on the mountain pass, like, at the summit, like, up in the mountains. And so when you're up in the mountains, it's just like cliff. And so they're wide trails, you know, it's not crazy. It was safe. But at the same time, I was like, there were moments when I'd look and I would get scared. And so I don't put myself in those situations very often, but I feel like it's a lot safer than things like a motorcycle or a quad. I mean, it depends on how you use it, obviously, but I loved it.
Yeah. I think my favorite part was, like, up when we got to the radio tower area, and we were just doing laps, and I was, like, just...
You guys were jumping,
going as fast as you could. Getting comfortable, or, like, somewhat comfortable with it, but at the same time, my body was just getting so freaking tired of it.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing that I noticed, too, is when I was doing it, both times, I felt... As the hours went on, the longer I did it, the more scared I was getting and the more in my head I was getting. And I feel like that's happened to me before with other things that I've tried. But you would think, you know, you're getting more confident, more comfortable. But my brain works, my anxiety-ridden brain. I'm like, well, I haven't gotten hurt yet, so it's coming soon. Like,
it's on the way.
That's how I was feeling. And I think it might have something to do with, like, my body getting more tired.
And it's like you feel less like you're in control.
Yeah. And I also feel like we were going to scarier places, you know? We're going on more areas where there's like, I just wanted to like feel more comfortable and just be like, okay, I could just shred now. But then it's like, okay, I'm getting more confident. And then it's like, it's like when we go skiing and I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm getting a little more confident. You're like, okay, let's go down this really hard one. I'm like, there goes all my confidence. I'm a baby again. Like, I can't do it. So that's probably why too, because we're going in, it wasn't harder places. It was just scarier because we're going way up higher, and it was just so beautiful, so insane. Oh my god, it was awesome.
Like, on our way back down, and like we hit the power lines, and it was like, it's a good size hill climb there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. And then, because I was like in the front of all four of us, and then Wendy right behind me, she's like, I think I'm gonna do it this time. And it's like, after she said that, I'm like, fuck, I gotta do it. And there's a video of me, and it's like, you can hear me in the background when you're rolling up. I'm like, I don't know, I just chickened out the first time. I didn't go all the way to the top and turn down. And it's like, I don't know, I just chickened out. I'm like, I gotta do it. I'm like,
ooh, it has that, we'll have to talk about that too, with our topic that we're talking about for the week with momentum. And, oh my gosh, okay. Because when I went the first time, I told you a million times, like, I went up this really steep hill, and it was really exciting, but also really scary. And I still can't believe that I did it. But, yeah, snowmobiling's awesome. Probably need to buy some.
Yeah, we're going to buy a couple sleds.
We're having a great time.
I'm going to make my, put a flatbed on my truck so I can haul them.
I hate that I'm saying that I like it more than skiing, but it has just has such a... less steep learning curve.
It's a quick pickup.
Yeah, and skiing, I'm still going to try to get better, obviously. But the other thing that I love so much about it is, which is my problem, is that I really look at people a lot and I get embarrassed really easily. And well, there's not really place like reason to get embarrassed when you're snowmobiling. Like people are just like going, you know,
just doing on the thing.
Trail. Whereas skiing, someone's like, they'll see you fall down and laugh at you.
they don't laugh at you.
I know, you always say they don't laugh at you, but it, that is also in my head and all the little, there's also no little kids that do it that I see. Anyways,
no.
are showing me up like they do on the mountain, just zipping around. Okay, what's your roast then?
My roast was just being so goddamn sore.
Oh my gosh.
This whole freaking week.
The two times that I went snowmobiling, I got new records on my calories burned on my Apple Watch. It's so much work. You wouldn't think that it would be that much work.
Well, it's like the Tuesday afterwards, I just felt like I had a hard day's work yesterday. It's like I was pretty much normal.
It was like the next day after. That was the worst.
It's just compounding every it's compounding every day.
Really? It's getting worse?
Yeah.
Or it's just lasting longer than you think it's going to.
But I think it's also because like the stuff I've been doing, because I've been doing like roofing. Yeah. Stuff at the same time. You also
built a roof at work this week. So,
I mean, it's just different muscles all around, from snowmobiling, then getting on to building a roof and climbing around. And I'm like, oh God, my body is just beat.
My roast is stupid daylight savings time. Like, can we just get rid of this already? Come on. Like, it's so freaking dumb. I know there's people who say, oh, we need it, there's reasons for it, and no, those reason. People are not my people. Like, no, we don't need it. There are states who don't do it. I think there's only two. I think it's Arizona and Hawaii, or Arizona and Alaska. I think it's Arizona and Hawaii, and they just don't do daylight savings time, and I just don't understand why we need it anymore. And there's a whole bill being brought up to go away with it. And I am in full support of that. And people say, you know, it's just one day or 2 days of catching up. And no, it's not. The days go by so much faster. It's last week, drove to the train in the morning, beautiful sunrise. This week, pitch black darkness. It's so annoying. I hate it. And I understand, you know, it's all like a phase, and it evens out by, you know, next month or something. But I am not a fan of daylight savings. I don't like it and it's also tax season. And so I think it's really funny because we did our taxes this weekend, both of us, and then and then the daylight savings happened. But the government's taking away our money, and they're taking away an hour of our life. And yeah.
I actually like the... This is the first year I've ever felt this, but I've actually liked the daylight savings time.
Oh my God.
Just because it's like, it feels like this whole week at work, it's gone by so fast.
Yeah, it goes by fast, and then you go home, and you're exhausted, and then you go to bed by the time it's 7 p.m. Like, the day goes by too fast. I need more hours in the day, not less. And they say that's what daylight saving time's for. Not for me. I don't feel like that. I always feel like the day is like, shoot, it's 10 o'clock already? It's over already? What happened today? I don't know.
I don't remember.
It wouldn't seem like all of that would happen from 1 hour, but it does. In my opinion.
In your opinion.
In my opinion. My toast is that this week I got to see two of my friends who I never get to see, and that was really fun. And we're going to a wedding in May, and I'm just really happy about it. Like, I cannot wait to go to a wedding. I am just beyond stoked. And I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't think any of my people who listen to the podcast will say this, but maybe there are who would say that they are not in support of that, but, you know, that's okay. I'm excited about it. And I'm so happy I got to see my friends.
I was really happy because she had two pets, and I liked them very much.
Yeah, I got to see a pup and a cat.
You liked the cat.
I did not like
the cat. You loved the cat.
It was not the worst cat I've ever met.
It was a fat cat. It was a very nice cat.
For those of you who are new to the podcast, I am afraid of cats.
It was such a nice cat. Did it do anything to you?
No, it stayed away, which was good. But I thought I was always crazy for being afraid of cats, like house cats. And then we've been rewatching Impractical Jokers, and Sal from Impractical Jokers is also afraid of cats, house cats. I'm not talking lions, I'm talking house cats. So
you're in decent company.
I'm in great company. Fabulous company. Yeah, it was a good weekend, and then Monday, snowmobiling.
Yep.
Do you want to go back? You want to do it again?
Yeah, I do. I've honestly been looking at buying a snowmobile. Maybe two.
It's so fun. It's so, so fun. And of course, we're starting this in like March. Like all the snow is going to be gone in like a month.
I know. I don't know. I was talking to down at the shop today. I said I might wait on the snowmobiles till fall, and then we'll just get a boat instead.
Yeah, see, because we've been thinking of a lot of things. Are we going to get a boat or now the snowmobile situation? And then we've also been talking about getting a trailer, like a fifth wheel.
Well, you can sleep in the boat.
Can sleep in the boat.
Sleep in the boat. It'll work just fine.
Okay, that concludes Costa Rosa, I think. And then when we come back, we are going to be talking about momentum, which was a topic inspired by March Madness. We'll be right back. And we're back. So it is the greatest month of the year, March. Why is that the greatest month of the year?
Because
it's my birthday. And I'm not even a big birthday person, but I just love that my birthday falls upon the same month as March Madness, because I love March Madness. College basketball, let's go. So all the games, upsets, drama, brackets, Cinderella stories.
Go Badgers.
So we love watching college basketball. We do not love watching the NBA. That's not what we're really talking about, though. What do you want to say about us watching basketball before we get really deep into this?
I get really into it.
Which is funny because Casey doesn't get really into anything.
Because, I mean, that was my sport growing up was basketball.
So I think it's something that we don't watch college basketball very often. The schools that we like are actually not very good. And then, you know, it's just something, especially the past year, we didn't watch it very much. But I love watching in person. Watching on TV is really only good if it's during March Madness.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a big game or your specific team's doing really good. Like, I cannot watch all the basketball games all the time. But the big thing with basketball is I feel silly talking about this, even though I shouldn't, because I am very knowledgeable. But, you know, basketball, you have all the fundamentals. You have to be in sync with your team. And the thing that we, both of us agree on, is most important, or can be most important in a game situation, is momentum. And really, this is something in any sport circumstance, especially in soccer too, you know, that's kind of a big thing as well, but we don't really do soccer. So in a lot of sporting situations, momentum is key, and it's just continually moving in the right direction. And, you know, one good step is followed by another and then another. And then, you know, you get your team on the same page. Like, can you talk about this a little bit? You know what I'm saying.
So,
I'm not
yeah.
explaining it very well. I mean, I was like, I'm coming into this strong, and I did not deliver. So can you do it?
So it's the, I mean, basically when you're when you click, and everything seems to just fall in place, and it's like you're unstoppable pretty much. Like if you're in a sport, the defense can't do anything against you. I mean, if you're a defensive player, say it's football or something, mm-hmm. and you're just everyone's clicking at the same time, it's like sack after sack or mm-hmm. interception, all that shit. But I mean, it's, you can definitely feel it when it's happening.
I think it's most noticeable if you're thinking of like between football, baseball, basketball, and soccer. It's most noticeable in basketball and getting into a groove. Yeah. Because football, very start stop. Baseball is just all stop. Yeah. It's so yeah. slow. No momentum in baseball. And it's very individualized. But at like, basketball is so much more of a team. And even with football, your team is split into offense, defense, special teams. Whereas when you're on a court of basketball, it's just that same unit moving. Yep. Yeah, you sub people in, you sub people out, but it's a unit. You have to be working as a unit.
And it's crazy, too, with basketball, because, I mean, it could – a momentum shift can start with just, like, one person getting an offensive rebound
mm-hmm.
and kicking it back out to someone else and getting real reset, and then there's a score, and then you do a press or something, someone steals the ball, and mm-hmm. then it just – everything compounds. It's just such a cool feeling.
So everyone's homework this week is to watch a March Madness game and see if you're noticing changes in momentum. But I wanted to bring this up because it's something we've talked about a lot. And it's something I've talked to other people about it as well when we're watching basketball. Just we talk about momentum, but it's something that I've also noticed in my own life. And this could be what I usually focus on in the podcast is talking about whether it's you're doing something creatively or in your career or just something that you're passionate about and making moves with that. But it's also the things like that you are forming habits around as well. Just the first step is the hardest one. And then making the habit is the big thing. And then continuing on with it, it gets easier and easier the more you do it. So just this week, I have been putting off something for seriously since the beginning of the year because my anxiety has been getting to me and I was like, I don't want to ask people to do this for me. I don't want people to think that I am dumb. And it had something to do with the podcast and my insecurities and my anxiety were just like getting to me. And I would just kept putting this off and putting this off and putting this off. And then this week I decided to finally do it. And it's something that I would have to do over and over again. And I did the first one. And then 5 minutes later, I did the second one. And it was just so much easier once I got the first one out of the way. And sometimes you have to just give yourself like an easier step. It doesn't have to be the hardest one, but the first one is just gets the ball rolling and you're like, oh, I survived that and now I can keep going. And I think this also has to do with sometimes on the podcast we talk about like manifestation. Once you start noticing or focusing on one good thing that's happened to you, you'll notice and focus on more of the good things that are happening. And then you in turn work harder to bring more of those things into your life. It's not just like sitting and waiting for these things to happen. Sometimes these things do happen to you, but noticing them and then like taking that action and like building momentum is so important. What do you want to say?
So what I was just thinking about when you were talking about that was, I mean, building momentum, very important, but being able to recover, like once you've built momentum up, whatever you're doing, there are times where it just gets shut down totally. And it's being able to recuperate and get yourself back to a level head and, or get like your whole crew back to a level head and like getting the momentum back up instead of completely shutting down.
That is a very good point. I think of one of the things that I usually compare things to is with exercising because it's just the easiest habit to talk about. For me, also reading is a big habit for me. I do it basically every single day, but I mean, a couple of years ago, that was so not the case. And it's like, oh, now it's just something that's built into my life. But with exercising, it's something, you know, you get on a path and you're like, okay, I'm going to do 30 minutes today, 30 minutes the next day, 30 minutes the next day. And then you stop for a weekend because you're on vacation or whatever. And then you're like, well, whatever, throw it all the progress away. Like, you can either do that or you can say, like you said, learning how to build that momentum back up.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples of momentum that you've been kind of building in your life, or things, examples that you've done in the past, or when you've seen like one good shift and you're like, you build on top of that?
So what was always a problem with me in high school, because I was a cross country runner.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, to be completely honest, I didn't do anything during the summer to train for that. And that was a fall sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just start up, you starting up running 5 miles a day, just out of doing nothing. And I mean, it hurts. It hurts bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, but pushing through it, then eventually, I mean, your body gets stronger and you keep on going. And then it's like 5 miles is nothing. 6 miles is nothing. And just keep on building on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not technically momentum. It's just making yourself stronger. But I guess that could be what
it is. Momentum. Is. It's, and I think sometimes you can build momentum. And then another thing I was thinking of is with skiing, sometimes your momentum can be too much. And you're moving too fast. So you need to recognize that too. You're like, oh, all this stuff is happening to me. Yay, all these good things. But then it's like, oh, shoot.
I got
too much. Or else you're going to go. That happened to me. So being able to control your momentum is an important thing too. You said you had some ideas that you wanted to talk about in regards to work and momentum.
So with my work, we're doing like, it's pretty fast-paced,
mm-hmm.
customer service kind of stuff, but you can definitely tell when one person gets dropped out of it and like they're not feeling it, and that it affects the entire team. It's like, not even that they can't keep up, but it's like they get an order or have to deal with the guy who's an asshole or something like that, and it takes their head out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects everyone else, affects the other six people,
mm-hmm.
because then their attitude is just completely different. And then it's like, that's where I come in and I try to level them out and keep things running smooth. But I mean, it's with momentum, with what we do, it's like if one person drops out or two people aren't like running in pace with everybody, it screws the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, yeah, it shoots everybody in the foot.
What would you say your tip would be when you're kind of thrown off your game, getting back into the groove, whether on an individual setting or in a group setting like that?
I mean, what I tell all other, like, what I tell the guys when that happens, and what I try to tell myself is just, I mean, shake it off. That's all you can really do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, bad stuff happens to everybody. And it's like everyone in customer service has had just an absolute terror of a customer. And, I mean, you just have to realize it's like, that's just what it is. It's like, we're not here to pander to this terrible person. We're here to pander to, like, we're helping out all these other people that are super happy to be here, super mm-hmm. happy to get helped. Just, you can't let this one person screw your entire day up.
Yeah, I think another thing that both of us really believe in and work to do, we see it a lot more in work on a group setting, but it can really be applied to yourself too, is when, you know, you're creating systems or really prioritizing efficiency and seeing where the roadblocks come up. You know, if you know this one jerk face is gonna be a jerk today, you're like, warning somebody ahead of time, like, just, you know, this is going to happen. Take care of it. Everyone else keep working on this. There's so many different systems, you know, you can put in place. But I think that's something that both of us are really, like, passionate about, is, like, making efficient systems and making things as efficient as possible. But you can also do that outside of work. And if you know, like, I know I'm not going to do my work on Monday, like, I'm not going to do my side hustle or my creative stuff on Mondays because I'm just exhausted because I do XYZ at work that day and I'm just tired. So it's like, okay, take that day. Don't do it. Like, don't continue to get yourself down. Put that time in a different spot and then build momentum on top of that. Like, don't set yourself up for failure. And if you're noticing something, find a way to make it a more efficient or a more productive way for you to, like, build the momentum. Because you're not going to build momentum if you keep disappointing yourself.
That is true. Absolutely.
Do you have anything else to say on more of an individualized?
Individualized? How do you mean?
Like, you personally building momentum rather than in a whole team setting. I always talk about money and then fitness as two things because they're very easy to recognize building. So, like, if you're saving money, you can see you gaining momentum or just building the habit of saving, you know, even if it's $5 a week, $10 a week. And then once you do it, the habit's there and you're going to keep doing it. You're going to build off of it. We already talked about working out, but I always talk about working out and you talked about running, but I think a better analogy in this sense would almost be like lifting weights, because maybe you do it every day and then you increase it, you know. Yeah. Not me, because I'm not good at that. I have little baby arms, but so I mean, I keep talking about this stuff as in just like hobbies when we're talking about like working out and stuff, but I like to talk about creatively as well. So just making the time, and it's hard to build momentum in a creative sense or when you're putting yourself out there sometimes when it is somewhat determined by other people. Like if you're selling your art and you're not making a sale, it's like, I just need that first step. So just trying different things and then finding where the good is and building momentum off of that. Because in the creative, the content field, in a lot of these areas, the digital space, it's like sometimes the momentum is based on other people. But it really is, once you find something that's working, like it will continue to grow, and focusing on that, the good, instead of focusing on the bad, which is so like, oh yeah, focus on the good. Good advice, Linz. But like when it's really specific in your passion, focusing on these good things, and also in your career. I know somebody who has been applying for jobs a lot. And I remember when I was applying for jobs and internships right out of college, the interviews just got easier and easier and easier. Like the more you interview, the easier it is. The more cover letters you write, the easier it is, because you know what you have to offer and just building momentum off of that. And it sucks to get like a no over and over again, but also you feel more comfortable and that confidence is so major. And I think that's important as well when you're doing something like creatively or putting yourself out there in that way. So, you got anything else to say about momentum?
Momentums. Oh, once you got it, you got to keep it.
Keep it. What's your advice for keeping it?
Just keep the ball rolling, I guess. I don't know.
You got to recognize that it's moving forward.
Yeah, I mean,
when it's something that you want and it's actually working, like really hone in on that. Sometimes we just take it for granted. We're like, oh, this good thing happened. It's like, no. Why did that happen? Like, keep it going. Keep it moving. Keep moving forward. That's what Walt Disney says.
Never met the guy.
I thought you were going to bring more to the table right there.
No, I wasn't. Oh, God.
Yeah, so the homework is watching a basketball game and seeing momentum shifts. Recognize it, because it's there, I promise it. And then think about it in your own life, like, where am I building momentum? Where am I slowing myself down? What am I doing when my momentum is stopped? And seeing, you know, what can I do better? How can I build this momentum? Because momentum is more important sometimes than the fundamentals. You can be able to dribble and shoot and pass the ball and all the things. And if your team is not building that momentum and they just keep getting stuck at certain spots, if your mind keeps getting stuck at certain spots, if your habits keep getting stuck at certain spots, you're never going to keep moving forward. You're going to keep getting stopped. You're not going to make that game-winning three-pointer.
That was excellent.
That was a good swish sound. Nothing but net. Okay, I think that's it for the momentum talk. We are going to be having some guests on soon, I promise. And I really hope you guys have been enjoying this podcast. As always, if you do enjoy it, share it with a friend. And really, if you are loving somebody's work, doesn't have to be mine. I have been really trying to share more people's stuff. I shared some artists that I love recently. I'm always sharing podcasts that I love, books that I love. Like, you sharing the stuff that you love is also creating momentum for other people. Like, this is how things go viral. And that is, like, going viral, we should have touched on that. That is strictly from momentum. Like, it's one domino toppling, and then one person sees it, another person, more, it's just viral is the same thing as momentum. Think about that. Dominoes, momentum.
Coronaviral.
Oh, shit. No. Oh, no. I guess you could compare it to that as well. And with that, I think we're going to be done. Let's think about going viral or the dominoes all falling in a good way. or the basketball team and the buzzer beater and all that instead of the coronavirus. So I think we're done. And with that, we'll be back next week and
party on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.